Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to episode 101 of Geek Town Radio. To celebrate this momentous occasion, I have with me Ross.
Amazing. Hello, Dave. 101.
Yes.
We're celebrating that after 100, you're still allowed to do this.
Yes. So we're on episode 101. Things are going slightly more back to normal this week. Yeah. We have an interview this week, which we didn't last week.
Oh, so good. A good interview as well.
Yes. A very good interview this week. Certainly, if you're a gaming fan, then yes.
Yes.
A good interview. So what have you been up to? It's been about a month since you were on last time.
Yes, it has. Well, Dave, well, certain circumstances have meant I haven't been able to do much, but I've been watching a lot of TV. One thing, I started watching Sneaky Pete, which I know you talked about last week, and I perfectly agree that that is an excellent show. I'm four in. And it's really, really good.
I'm five in at the moment.
But then, before that, I was looking through, you know, you get lists of things that are leaving sort of Netflix and Now TV. And on the, I think either the last day of February or the last day of, I think it's the last day of March, Mad Men is leaving Now TV.
Ah, yes.
So
okay.
In the last two, maybe 3 weeks, I've watched all seven seasons of Mad Men.
Wow.
With all the spare time I've had available to me, weekends and evenings. And Mad Men is terrific. I know this is a late review, but Mad Men is fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I've seen, I think, the first season, and then other things got in the way, so I didn't manage to catch up with it, but it's one that I do want to go back and watch.
Is, well, before the 31st of March on Now TV, you can catch it though. But yeah, it's phenomenal. I've got, I think I've got the last five or six to watch. Maybe I'll watch a couple tonight, maybe tomorrow. But yeah, this week will be it. And then I'll be back to Sneaky Pete, and I've got to finish that off.
Wow. Yeah. That's some heavy binge watching right there.
It's been a trip, I'll tell you that much. But you know, so many programs you get to the end and you can't remember people from the start.
Yeah.
Particularly, it's bad with programs like, I mean, programs like Daredevil are okay, because if you know comics, you sort of remember some of the characters because you know who they are.
Yeah.
But shows that rely on people's names who aren't particularly, they're not like superheroes, they're just people who have names.
Yeah.
It can be quite difficult to keep track of everyone.
Yeah.
I found that in Sneaky Pete a little bit at the beginning when you're introduced to the family, and it's kind of like, wait, so who's this person he's related to? How?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think watching it that quickly really helps to sort of, so I know you can mention a name now and I'm like, oh, that's the guy from this season who did this thing, and you know, so yeah, it's good in a way.
No, I know what you mean. There are certain things. What was I watching? Hawaii Five-O. I was watching recently.
Excellent. of course. Let's compare Mad Men and Hawaii Five-O.
Yeah. No, just in terms of, they did their 150th episode and then they went back. And I mean, we were talking last week about that show having severely jumped the shark already, but they go back and they're referencing things, and I'm like, who's that character? I can't remember. What's the relationship to the lead? So that's always a bit of an issue.
I'm like that with Game of Thrones sometimes.
Is that, oh yeah, Game of Thrones is terrible for it. Yeah.
I'm a very passive fan. So someone will mention someone, I'll be like, I'm sorry, that's which one is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad.
No, I know what you
Maybe
mean.
Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my problem and I need to pay more attention.
I mean, I'm quite a big Game of Thrones fan and I have that problem as well. just remembering who's related. No, it's not. There are a lot of characters in that show.
But yeah, after that, I've got to get back to my life as was. Now that when that finishes, I'll have to pick up the pieces and carry on.
Yes, or your life as it's going to be in the future. That's
well, luckily we've got. I think Mass Effect is next month, isn't it?
You could be right. Yes, I know there was a preview thing in PC Gamer this month. There was a preview article of Mass Effect, so it must be coming fairly soon.
Hopefully I'll not be bored.
Yes. They're saying in the article that it's kind of a mashup of Mass Effect, and they've taken a lot of the stuff they learned from Dragon Age Inquisition.
Excellent.
And mixed that into it. So I'm really looking forward to this. It sounds like it's going to be excellent. So
okay, sounds good to me.
So yeah, I am really looking forward to that coming out. It should be really good. And hopefully, I don't know whether they're down there this weekend, but it's PC Gamer Weekender this weekend in London. I will be down there. So I don't know whether that's going to be showing or not, but if it is, I will be very happy.
Fantastic.
So is there anything else that you want to reveal to the nation?
Oh, no, absolutely nothing. I've been planning for my proposal. I'm now proposed. I'm now engaged.
Engaged, I think, is the word you're looking for.
I've engaged a lady, and she is...
Given that this is going out on Valentine's Day, that seems like...
Oh, yes, I didn't even think of that. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
So, yes, I thought that was a nice thing to add in for Valentine's Day. But yes, you're getting married if you're getting proposed.
I tried my absolute hardest not to do it on Valentine's Day, because that would just be horrible, wouldn't it? No offence if anyone's doing it.
No, it is a little cliched, but you know, it's kind of sweet and romantic, I guess. But
but yeah, that's what I've been up to. That's been my life. So it's been a bit of a now we're buying dresses and suits and everything.
You've got the legs for a dress, I'm sure.
Got to get my size for the dress. I don't know what. It's hell. How about you, Dave? What have you been doing?
Me, usual sort of stuff. I was pottering around and watching various TV shows. Riverdale, which is on Netflix. I don't know whether you've caught Riverdale yet.
Can you give me a brief plot? I might have heard of it rather than...
Riverdale is this update of Archie comics from Greg Berlanti, the guy that makes Flash and Arrow and all those shows. And it's a bit like... I've sort of described it as being a bit like Vampire Diaries, but without the vampires.
It's diaries.
It's sort of, you know, somebody's described it as being a bit like the OC, or you know, that sort of... it's all young, attractive American people in a little small town.
Okay.
It opens with them coming back to school after a summer where one of the kids has gone missing and is presumed dead. It's the school kind of recovering after that, and there's various relationships going on and bickering, but it's quite good fun. It's well written. There's an element of undertone of something else going on in the town as well. It's not a supernatural show, but it has that feeling of things aren't quite what they appear, and it's quite nicely written, and it's got some nice twist to it. Same way that, you know, Fortitude had that sort of... that sort of thing of it feeling a little bit supernatural, but it's not. There are scientific reasons for things. It's not quite that far, but it's heading into that ballpark. I mean, very different types of shows, but you know, in terms of the feeling it gives me is that, you know, it is a sort of teen drama, but there is something else going on underneath as well. It's slightly subversive, which I quite like.
Great.
Legion also aired this week as well.
Do you know, I was going to ask you do you know where I can catch Legion?
Legion should be on Now TV.
That's what I thought, because Fox is on Now TV and it's on Fox, isn't it?
Yes. So it should...
Because I believe they've got... I don't know if it's this... something to do with the visuals. I don't know if it's the do they have a cinematographer on TV? I don't know.
Yes,
it was the same guy who did Fargo.
Ah, right.
And I very much liked Fargo, so I thought I'll give this a shot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it doesn't seem like my kind of thing, really. Apart from the X-Men tack on, but it's not really... I take it it's not really X-Men-y.
No, it's not at all. Yeah, I mean, if you like Fargo, I think there's something about Legion you will probably like. like, actually. Because
I have to give it a go.
It is superhero based, technically, but it's not like any superhero show you've ever seen before. There's a lot more psychology going on. There are powers, and that, you know, it's based around mutants, and, you know, Legion, the lead character, is a mutant, but it's got a lot more in terms of the psychology, and it's kind of weird and trippy, and it's a really interesting show. So I would definitely advise you to give that a try.
I will definitely try that out.
Yeah, try that out. MacGyver also started this week.
Great, good stuff.
Which is preposterous and very, very Hawaii Five-O. It's the same. There is a connection with the Hawaii Five-O guys. They're all part of the sort of Hawaii Five-O, NCIS, and MacGyver are all kind of part of the same universe. So
could we get a crossover, do you think?
There is a crossover. There is a crossover coming between Hawaii Five-O and MacGyver. But it's shot in a very similar way. It has a very, very similar feel to it. So if you like something like Hawaii Five-O, you'll like MacGyver. I know Andrew messaged me after watching it and saying he absolutely hated it. But but yeah, he was a huge fan of the original. I don't remember the original particularly well. So
before your time, Dave.
A little bit. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was. I'm not sure. But I thought it was perfectly fine. It's silly fluff TV, but, you know, it was perfectly okay and perfectly watchable. Emerald City as well, that came out this week, which, as I've said before, is basically The Wizard of Oz crossed with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed the first episode of it. I haven't seen any more than that, so I've only seen what's just gone out on TV. But I'm going to be watching more of that. I really enjoyed it. Walking Dead as well returns. Well, we're recording this on Monday, so it returns tonight. And I actually have already seen the episode. So because it
perks.
I get perks of running a TV website, I got a preview of it. But yeah, it's for me, I won't give anything away, but it's basically, I think it's found its feet a bit more again. It feels, after the first half of the season was like trudging through mud in places, it seems to have pulled itself together a lot more. There is a glimmer of it being a bit more positive. And, you know, you'll start seeing the various different towns and clans starting to sort of pull together or try and pull together. So you're seeing a lot more of that. There are some interesting developments as well, but I'm not going to go into those. If you want more on The Walking Dead, you can go and check out the Entertainment Talk Walking Dead podcast, which me and Matt do, which is over on entertainmenttalk.org. So you can check that out later in the week as well, if you're a fan of that. We're also doing one for 24 as well. So so that'll be one to look out for. Also that came out this week, the Iron Fist trailer. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have. Yes. Very exciting, isn't it?
Yes. I like the look of this. Although the setup is very Green Arrow, but
yeah,
I'm not sure which came first actually out of those two, but the setup is very, very similar, but it looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this thing with, Marvel Netflix. I'm a big fan, as you know, Dave, but, the thing is that Daredevil so far is the only one with a costume, which I think when you get the Defenders together will look ridiculous. Because you've got like normal looking guy, normal looking girl, and then whatever Daredevil's got going on with his body armor. And it seems very, really weird. So I'd like to see, Iron Fist doesn't have much of a costume, and there was that sort of vintage costume nod in there.
Yeah.
But Iron Fist very much has a costume, and I would like to see him in it.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. But I mean, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage don't have costumes in the comic books, either.
Yes, exactly. So, in fact, the newer Power Man and Iron Fist comics, which are excellent, by the way, generally it's just Luke's in some sort of yellow and black somewhere about his person, and then Iron Fist's got his proper costume. That would be good. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll bring out the costume. That would be good. But yes, I'm looking forward to that turning up.
It's definitely.
Iron Fist airs on the 17th of March on Netflix.
There you are. So I'll have that and Mass Effect to keep me alive.
Yes. So you've slightly over a month to wait for that. So not too bad. And speaking of video games, as we were, Elite Dangerous, I've been playing recently.
Good. Now, how's that?
It's well, I've played it before, but it was a while back before the Horizons update came out.
Yeah.
And the Horizons update allows you to land on planets and also gives you the ability to have a little like buggy thing that you can drop out the back of the ship and drive around on planets as well.
So, not unlike Mass Effect had that.
Yeah, not unlike Mass Effect. Yes, very much so. I mean, it's an open world as well, so you are playing online with other players. Bits of it are a bit of a grind, you know, in terms of making money in the early days is quite difficult. But they've added things in like you can carry passengers now, which is quite fun. So you can stick like economy or business class into sort of a ship or a VIP class and just kind of, you know, first class and stick them in. And carry people around, and you know, some people just want transporting from A to B. Some people want to go on a tour of like certain tourist destinations. You have to take them to particular locations, stuff. So that's quite good fun. There's some great little things like you know, there's the standard sort of go here, shoot all these pirates sort of stuff. There's also ones of go to this location, land on this planet, knock out this person's generator. Or go and steal the data from the data.
It's got to be the shield generator, Dave. Always. The plot of every Star Wars movie. You've got to take out the shield generator.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot more variation in the missions than there were before. As I say, the bits of it are still a bit of a grind. But, you know, it's more interesting than it was. And they're still updating stuff as well. They've got a new thing coming out. This is 2.2, this current patches, then 2.3 will be the next one, and that has the ability to be able to put multi-crews in a ship, so you can basically get a bunch of friends together and all be operating different things within one ship.
Oh, great. Kind so, of like was it Star Trek? No, it's not Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Yes. Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Does that work the same way? I was going to say, what's that Xbox game they've got coming out where you're pirates and you all have to do a little bit on the pirate ship? I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but I know the one you mean. Yeah, there's a game where you will get to be different parts of a pirate ship. Yeah, yeah, exactly, that sort of thing. The other thing is you can now put smaller ships inside some of the larger ships as well. So if you've got a ship which is kind of slow and not massively well defended, but you're basically using it for haulage, so you can carry lots of stuff. Mm. You can, if you get attacked, you can carry a fighter in the belly of it and drop the fighter out. And actually, I think you can either have a pilot for the fighter or you can pilot the fighter yourself.
Mm. So that's good. Seems much more rounded. It's nice when a game does that and it feels so much fuller.
There's a lot more stuff. I would like them to get to a point where you can actually get out and walk around. But there is another game coming out called Star Citizen, which is in sort of fairly early alpha at the moment. There's not that much put together. They've kind of got bits of the different areas, but they are basically planning to sort of do that, have a big open universe, have ships so they can actually land in cities, and you can get out and go and walk around a shopping area, and you know, so it's entirely tied together, and that does look amazing, but it's going to take a while to get there, I think, because at the moment they've got bits of ship battles and like bits of stuff you can walk around, but there's nothing's kind of properly connected as far as I can tell. So I'm looking forward to that, but I would like to see Elite get to that point as well. It'd be good. But it's a fun game. I think it's on Xbox as well as PC, although I'm playing on PC.
Mm.
So worth looking up.
Good. Sounds interesting.
So if you've got nothing else this week, then we shall move on to film and TV news.
Fantastic.
First news story this week is one that I actually haven't posted up on the website, but it's been doing the rounds a lot.
Oh my God, Dave. It's so exciting.
It's basically that Fox have said they're interested in making a new series of Firefly. Now,
swoon.
I've not put this up on the website, partly because, to me, Fox saying they want to make it is great, but their caveat is they will only do it if Joss Whedon is involved. And Joss Whedon has been eerily silent on the whole issue so far. You watch, we'll say this now, and then tonight he'll come out with a statement. But yeah, Joss Whedon hasn't actually said anything about it yet. And he's currently in the process of making a new film. He's been hesitant about going back to that world after, you know, after everything else that's happened, and the fact that he sort of rounded off bits of the story with Serenity. So I don't know. He may decide that he wants to go back to it, but I don't know. It's difficult to know where his head will be at with that.
It'd certainly be interesting to see how he handles that those challenges if it did happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the cast, because you are on a good point with the cast. I mean, Nathan Fillion has now finished Castle, so he's bumbling around doing various different bit parts.
He was
stuff.
In Modern Family the other day, and I was talking to my now fiance about who he was, and she just didn't understand. And I was like, yeah, but there's a ship, and they're like cowboys. They're not cowboys, but because it's in space. But they're like that, and it's a whole thing.
So you nearly need to show her the show.
she would not appreciate it.
Oh dear. But yeah, so Fillion is finished doing Castle. He pops up in Santa Clarita Diet, which is the new TV show on Netflix, which we interviewed the cinematographer, I think it was, a while back. But he popped up in an episode of that, and he's popped up in an episode of some other things. He's got the thing going, the Con Man series, which they've done a second season of, which he does with Alan Tudyk. So there are bits and pieces that he's been doing, but he's not on one particular show at the moment. Jules Sait isn't doing that much right now, as far as I can work out, apart from, I mean, she took a lot of time off to be a mum, as because she had a little baby last year, I think. So she, again, he's doing bit parts on things, but isn't a series regular on the show. So McGlow, as far as I can tell, isn't a series regular on anything at the moment. Neither is Sean Meyer, who, doesn't seem to be regular on anything. Gina Torres looks like she's got a part on the Shondaland series, This Catch, now, but is no longer regular in Suits. So if she's not a lead in The Catch, which I don't think she is, then she's not going to be that tied up. Marina Baccarin has got some work on Gotham, but I don't know how much she's shown up in the latest season, because I haven't seen it yet, because Channel 5 are dragging their feet. So those are all kind of dealable with, I think. The biggest problem is probably Adam Baldwin at the moment, because he's a major character on The Last Ship, which is a show which runs on Sky One over here, and they're currently filming the next two seasons back to back, so that's going to tie him up quite a lot.
Oh yeah,
so that's one issue. And the other problem is Alan Tudyk.
I think Alan Tudyk would come. I think he's the most likely. If you said drop everything, we're doing Firefly, I think he's the most likely to say yeah, right.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of issues. Well, the first one is he's currently one of the major characters on Powerless, which is the new DC show on NBC. He's like a cousin of Bruce Wayne, who runs this, who's a kind of idiot cousin that runs the Wayne Enterprises tech division in wherever they're based. But so he's got a fairly major role on that show. There is the other issue of Wash, the character himself, after the events of Firefly, Serenity.
They could, Star Wars, Disney decided that all the Star Wars comics just weren't canon at one point, couple of years ago. You could just say, no, that didn't happen. That doesn't count.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah. What do you do with, it's the Wash issue. What do you do with Wash? Because he was such a beloved character. And I mean, he has been known to bring people back, but it's difficult to know what Whedon might do, whether he would want to bring Wash back, or whether he want to use Alan in a different way somehow, or I don't know. Turn him into the chip's computer, or I don't know what you'd do.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
You know, I mean,
like a Holly situation.
Yeah, yeah, whether you could do something like that, I don't know. But I think, you know, I actually think that most Firefly fans, if you miraculously had him suddenly come back to life,
it's after, fine.
I actually think we'd all just forgive him for it, because you know, I think the desire to have Wash back overrides the events of what happened in that film. So so I, you know, I actually think that if he wanted to just like have him turn up alive, I think that would be absolutely fine, you know. Having a twin or something.
Just
I don't
even
know.
Mention, yeah.
I don't know, or a clone, or I'm not sure what you'd do, but I think there are ways around it, I'm sure. And even if it's completely preposterous, I completely forgive Joss for doing it, as I think every Firefly fan would just to have Definitely. Washback on the screen. So I don't know. But as I say, the fact that Fox says they're interested in doing it is understandable given that they're running these like 10 episode, like Prison Break and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're reviving old series and X-Files and things like that. So as an event series, it makes sense. I just don't know whether there's any point in talking about it if Whedon has no interest. Mm. So, you know, it's one of those things I sort of avoided posting it because I was kind of like, well, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up.
It's like non-news, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, of course Fox want it at this point because they know there's a big fan base for it. It's exactly the sort of show they should be going after. But, I mean, good on them for saying they wouldn't do it without Whedon because, you know, there was talk of, I can't remember whether it's Fox or one of the other networks doing a Buffy revival without Joss, which I now think he's now dead in the water, which was a horrible, horrible idea. So, you know, I'm glad Fox have said they wouldn't approach it without him. But, yeah, until we hear from Joss, there's not really anything to see, I don't think. So we'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully we'll get a comment at some point. Next bit of news is a new Sky One commission. Sky have been really putting themselves out there with original productions recently. Mm. Their idea was to have one major drama series a month on Sky Atlantic. But on top of that, they're upping the amount of original productions they're doing for Sky One as well, which is where things like Hooten and the Lady came out.
Just a sidebar, Lucky Man is back towards the end of March, I think.
Yes, it is. Lucky Man is back on the, I think it's earlier than that, actually. It's at the end of, 24th of February.
Oh, wow, how about that? I remember 20-something. I saw there's a billboard at the end of my road. Maybe I should have paid more attention.
All that money they spend on billboards.
Advertising, it just doesn't work, Dave. The advertising just doesn't work.
That's why you have a nice, convenient list on geektown.co.uk.
Nice.
So 24th, that's back. But so spurred on by the success of things like that, they're now making more original productions. This latest one is called Bounty Hunters. It's an action comedy and it stars Jack Whitehall, of all people.
Of all people.
So it's Jack Whitehall and against Academy Award nominee Rosie Perez, which is not like two people you would expect to necessarily see together, which is part of the kind of casting arrangement, I guess. I think Jack's actually, Jack Whitehall has written it with a guy called Freddie Seiborn, who co-wrote Bad Education with him. Bounty Hunters sees a posh, uptight Brit called Barnaby Walker. Obviously, he's Jack Whitehall.
Everyone's going to give him a posh name, aren't they?
Yeah, sorting out his family's cash-strapped antique business after his father is hospitalised following a mysterious incident. However, when he unwittingly buys a blood antiquity looted from the war-torn Middle East, he sets off a chain of events that nothing could prepare him for. Cue help in the shape of tough New Yorker and bounty hunter Rita Morales, who is played by Perez, whose own world is also in turmoil. She's on the run, having killed a member of a Mexican cartel. As the dynamic duo team up, viewers will be taken on a comedy journey stretching from New York to London to Mexico. So it's another sort of comedy duo thing, sort of in the guise of, I mean, Hooten and the Lady was kind of that, but
I was going to say, it seems like that.
That was a bit more action adventure-y rather than action comedy, I guess. It was sort of action adventure with a comedy element, whereas this is strictly action comedy by the sound of it. I don't know. This lives or dies on whether you like Jack Whitehall, I guess.
Yes. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind him. He's perfectly fine. I've seen him on panel shows. I've never seen any of his acting stuff, so I don't know. I've never seen Bad Education. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a fairly okay premise, but it's skirting very close to Hooten and the Lady for me. I mean, I don't know. That's only from the description, but difficult to really judge. But I mean, Rosie Perez is a perfectly decent actress, so you've got to assume that there must be something in it, otherwise she wouldn't have agreed to do it in the first place.
Yeah, sure.
So there's that. And then the last piece of news today is regarding Dexter's Michael C. Hall, who has landed the role of JFK in The Crown Season 2, which I thought was an interesting little bit of casting.
Yeah.
From serial killer to president as well, which is, I mean, he's done a few things in between, but, you know, that's what most people know him for. It's going to be in the second season, which is starting with Her Majesty's Armed Forces fighting an illegal war in Egypt and works through to the 1960s, ending with the downfall of Harold Macmillan, the Prime Minister. I mean, I quite like the show. I don't know if you've seen any of The Crown.
No, but I'm interested now that, because, go back to this, a lot of Mad Men, there's a lot of points in American history in the 60s, things like Kennedy and the moon landing and Nixon and things like that.
Yeah.
And they serve as sort of framing devices for certain things that happen in the plot. And I think that'd be really interesting to see things, because I like a historical program anyway. Well, is it historical if it's the last cent? I guess so.
Yeah,
but yeah. So yeah, that does sound, I have to get on it.
Yeah, it's worth watching. The first season is really good. I still haven't quite finished it yet, but it's one of those that's kind of been sat on the back burner while other things have come up. I'm struggling to watch everything that's being recorded on Sky at the moment. So, but it's written by Peter Morgan, the guy who wrote the Queen and Frost, Nixon and Rush. It's primarily telling the story about Buckingham Palace and Downing Street, but obviously with these sort of events, you're going to bring in Americans and that sort of stuff because
yeah.
You know, JFK was such a major part of that bit of history. So JFK is apparently being portrayed as somebody at home in front of a crowd, a natural leader with excellent public speaking, who does not take kindly to being upstaged by anybody, especially his wife. Although Jackie's accomplishments are perceived to be an asset to the president, JFK feels unmanned by his wife's popularity. In public, he seeks revenge by flaunting his many infidelities, and behind closed doors, his jealousy surfaces in a form of anger and manipulation. So it sounds like they're not portraying him as particularly nice character.
No, how interesting.
Which is an interesting take on it. Jackie Kennedy has also been cast as well. That's a South African actress called Jodie Balfour, who was in Bomb Girls, so which is where a lot of British people might know her from. She's described as a seemingly natural first lady whose charming exterior of confidence and glamour hides a shy woman who loathes public life, which is kind of the Jackie Kennedy I think we've seen before, you know. So, but yeah, that portrayal of JFK, I think, could be very interesting. And Michael C. Hall is a fantastic actor. So he was brilliant in Dexter. He was brilliant in 6 Feet Under as well. So yeah, I think he's a good pick for JFK. I can see him managing to pull that off.
Mm.
We've also got Downton Abbey's Matthew Good has also been cast. He's playing Princess Margaret's photographer husband, who is Anthony Armstrong Jones, the first Earl of Snowdon. Tony, as he was known, is described as a charming, passionate and avant-garde photographer who knows all the right people. His swinging 60s attitude is in stark contrast to the staid outlook of the palace and Princess Margaret is accustomed to. So, I remember that was a fairly kind of interesting relationship as well that she got herself into. So, yeah, I mean, interesting sets of casting there.
Love a bit of history.
Yes, yeah. I like a bit of a good historical drama. That's always
good. He looks like, I suppose this is a bit of a connotation from Dexter, or maybe why he was cast in Dexter, but that description of Kennedy is like very, very, very outgoing, but also has this kind of dark, you know, he's got that sort of
darkened tone to it.
Yeah, like a vengeful thing about his wife. And he's going to, you know, it seems like he does that well.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is the last season that's going to have Claire Foy and Matt Smith as Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, because next season, which presumably will go into the 70s, will have an older pair of actors taking over the role.
That's quite a double act to follow.
Yeah, it is. And it's an interesting choice doing that rather than sticking makeup on them to do that. But I quite like that idea. And I mean, it sort of makes sense that, you know, if you're going to recast people every couple of seasons. So the idea is that there's 6 seasons in total, each 10 episodes, they'll have two people in those roles for 2 seasons each.
Yeah.
So you'll get
three couples.
Yeah, so you'll get 3 couples taking on the role. So it'd be interesting to see who they cast next.
But no news on the who is.
No, they've not announced that yet, so I don't know yet. But
curious.
I am wondering, given that it's Peter Morgan, whether who was it that played the Queen?
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yeah.
I mean, kept thinking Judi Dench then. Judi Dench was like right at the front of my mind.
Helen Mirren and James Cromwell. I do wonder whether when you get to the sort of later, like the last two couple, whether it ends up being Helen Mirren and James Cromwell if they can get them to do it for two seasons. Or even just for the final season, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, you look at Michael Sheen has played Tony Blair multiple times for Peter Morgan. Yeah. So it's whether, you know, you could get those two maybe to come in and play them in this.
He could even be Tony Blair in this, maybe.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me if they got him to come and do Tony Blair in this.
They'll have to do Blair and Princess Di, and then into the... was it last year there was the 75th and the royal wedding before that? Interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we're in 60s now, 70s, 80s, 90s. Yeah, so, you know, it should pretty much come up to present day. So see where it ends up. But
I shall have to watch it and report back.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The episodes I've seen, I've really enjoyed. So it's worth looking up. So that is all the news for this week. Next up, we have the interview. So this week's interview is going to be a bit of a treat if you're a fan of video games, particularly if you're a fan of the Hitman series, because we have Agent 47 himself, David Bateson. David Bateson is the voice of Agent 47 and has been the voice of Agent 47 pretty much in all the game incarnations, I think, so far. So they did try and replace him at one point, which does come into the conversation, and we do talk a bit about that. So, yes. He's been the voice basically for all the games. Technically, he's a South African actor, but he was born to English parents and now lives in Denmark. So English is predominantly his accent, but he does work in Denmark at the moment. So kind of interesting sort of mix of all over the place. He's done film and he's done some TV, works quite a lot in Danish theatre at the moment. He's best known and best loved, though, for Agent 47 in the Hitman games. He's voiced the character since 2000. And as far as we can work out, he's probably the longest serving voice actor in gaming history, other than David Hayter, who voices Solid Snake in the Metal Gear games. But
maybe it would be the longest one who still does it, because of course David Hayter doesn't do it anymore. 24 does it, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah. Kiefer Sutherland took over most recently. He may actually have outdone David Hayter, because David Hayter started a little bit earlier, and David Bateson is still doing Agent 47 right now. So we'll see. But he was a fascinating person to talk to. We got a lot of questions. I went on Reddit and asked the people on Reddit if they had any questions for him. And usually I only get a few questions, and I got a ton of them. Because there's a lot of fans of Hitman out there, I know. So
did you ask, does he shave his head because he likes it or because he's going bald?
No, I didn't.
That is a key bald man question. Is do you enjoy it, or is this a medical necessity at this point?
No. It's a shame you didn't bring that one up earlier. I could have asked him.
Sorry. You can't. That might offend him. He might hit you. He might hit man you.
maybe. So this is the interview with David. Hope you really enjoy this. We'll see you afterwards with some air dates.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, David.
Hey, David. You must be a nice person if you're a Dave.
Of course. It's good to be finally talking to you anyway. You're most famous for your role in the Hitman games.
Yeah.
So how did that come to you in the first place?
Purely by chance, actually. I was in a studio doing a voiceover, obviously in English, and the people who ran the studio said, listen, we've got this, we're doing some graphics work on a new computer game. So they had a working relationship with the original owners of IO Interactive.
Right.
Who at that point were just sort of five computer nerds in a garage. you know, a real sort of Steve Jobs story, really. I mean, they had jobs on the side working at a film company, Nordisk Film, but this was their kind of a project, as I understood, on the side, which they were hoping, I believe, to sort of use this Hitman computer game to hopefully sell and make some money, so they could then, with that money, that capital, use it to develop other games.
Yeah.
Little did they know it would sort of end up being such a monster hit, and they were sort of sitting with suits and ties on in a big building in the waterfront, you know, going, "What the hell happened?"
Yeah, I mean, as you say, the franchise has expanded just ridiculous amount since you first started. Did you have any inkling how big this might have going to get yourself?
No, you know, I don't think anyone did, but I will say this, that I right from the get-go, when I looked at the graphics, you know, when they said at that time in the studio, I said, let me just, yeah, see what is this computer game? And I went into this editing suite and they ran some sequences by me and went, flipping heck, that is a completely different level. We're talking now 16 years ago. So
yeah,
that's in all forms of computer work. That's a lifetime. That's a millennium ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but even then, you know, it was a cut above the rest of what was going on, I thought. And also it appealed to me very much because it had a sort of film noir look to it, you know, and being a massive fan of Blade Runner, I just couldn't get enough of that. So I went, yeah, I'll do this. So yes, I mean, the point is, I thought it would sell, even if it was a little eclectic, or what's that word? You know, it seemed pretty
specialized.
High.
Yeah.
But I did think it would actually have legs, no one thought it would go that big.
Yeah. So you voiced the character over pretty much all the games, haven't you, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, they did try dropping me, which is...
yes, yeah.
They're entitled to do that. But it came as a surprise because I'd had negotiations with them earlier that year. I think it was 2011. And it all looked like it was going to happen. And then they try, you know, they just went in a different artistic direction.
Right.
Yeah. But then the fans got really humpy about it. And they just wouldn't have anything to do with it. So, yeah, that was really the power of the power of the fan base that I think, bless them, they really did a, you know, 180 degrees, you know, turnaround and came back to me and said, listen, we've really been listening and we just don't think it has the same, you know, power and mystery. And would you mind recording it? And I went, yeah, of course. And no, you know, there was no, I did jokingly say when I got the first phone call from, I can't remember who it was now, he's not there anymore. I said, oh, you know, and he was a bit, on the phone. And I went, oh, you're not dead then. It was no hard feelings, and I'm glad they had the balls to actually come back to me.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's really good. And, you know, I think, as you say, the fans really got behind that and really didn't like the idea of you not doing it, which I think is lovely as well.
It speaks volumes. And I've since really now had a lot of contact with the fans over the years, as much as I can. I'm always trying to answer questions and relate to them as much as I can on social media. But also physically, I was at the EGX, September 2015, up in Birmingham.
Yes, very close to me. That
blew my socks off.
Yeah.
I've never been to one of those before. So they're all like that. But it just that kind of, generally speaking, the dedication of fans of computer games is off the Richter scale. And then getting to meet so many Hitman fans just really humbled me, actually.
Yeah. I should say, actually, before I came on to do this interview, I went onto Reddit and posted a little thing in the Hitman forum, which, you know, it's got a sort of dedicated group of people that follow it. And I went and posted and said, look, I'm talking to David. If you've got any questions, just post them. And usually I do that quite often if I'm doing interviews.
Yeah.
Just to
get a real kind of demographic of
just to give these guys who are huge fans to give them an opportunity to ask some questions. And usually when I do that, I might get sort of five or six people posting something. we're about, I don't know, 50 or 60 questions.
Bless them. I want to them all home and give them a good dinner.
So I mean, admittedly, some of them do cross over and some of them were things that I was sort of going to ask you anything anyway, so I've got this whole load of questions. One of the ones, I think you may have answered this a few times in interviews before, but one of the ones from one of the guys was, did you audition for the role in any of the movies? Or did that ever come up?
No, I didn't audition. I offered my services and they were politely declined. that's the bottom line. But I did get a positive feedback from the Paris office of the first film, because it was was a French production company. And it had, of course, the producer of Leon and Taxi, you know, the... my name's gone blank now, but he's simply the man for action films. Anyway, but it was never going to be. I was always a dead duck because I think 20th Century Fox had it all sewn up using their Timothy Oliphant, who was already on their books with the Deadwood
account
thing. So no, I mean, but I have to say I did. The way they were promoting that first film was that, you know, who is Agent 47? You know, he is this legend. No one knows what he looks like because if you've met him, you're dead.
Yeah.
And so they had a window of opportunity there, which would actually appeal to a not known actor.
Yes.
You know, instead of going, oh, it's Tom Cruise. Oh, it's Matt Damon. And, oh, hello. Oh, you're very anonymous.
Yeah,
they had a chance there. I said, and I was going, guys, you know, I'll fly over. Just give me 15 minutes of your time, and I'll walk away.
Yeah,
aren't you even curious?
Yeah,
because anyway, it wasn't to be. So that's fine.
No, I mean you're quite right. That would have made far more sense. But you know, they've never quite managed to get it right with the films, have they? So you know,
I haven't seen the latest, the Assassin's Creed film.
Yeah,
and the trailer looks great, and you know, the Hitman trailers look absolutely amazing as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they haven't got them right yet, at least. And it's weird because I know with regard to Hitman, the writers on Hitman from IO Interactive, okay, I know they've been close to this game for many years and so on, but they're really good. And the stories are really interesting and complex and have a lot. I mean, why does Hollywood have to, you know, turn it into some kind of Vin Diesel car chase and, you know, The Quick and the Dead's 42. It's just the silent assassin. It's in the title, guys. Rocket launches and girls and with no clothes on.
I never quite understand that because there is obviously a huge audience that are buying the games and they're buying it because of the way that it is written at the moment. So you would think carrying that on would make sense, but
yeah, such is life.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the questions have we got? We've got, how do you feel about the NPC voices not having the correct accent for the country that they're in? Was one of the questions.
Yeah, that's a good one. Some of it is just pure economics.
Yeah.
I mean, as I understand, they're using some kind of casting agent, voice agent in Los Angeles. And most of the voices were done there.
Right.
And so they're probably just given a limited budget and hired five people and say, can you do 300 voices? And they went, of course. They go, yeah. I actually don't know, but it is a pity. I will say that because when you think of the serious amounts of money being used in developing a game, to kind of just shoot it in the foot with a voice actor who's doing his best or her best, but are up against it because they have to multitask like it's going out of fashion. I think that's a pity. I mean, especially with this one, there were so many voices. The MCP, so that Agent 47 can interact with, which is a real plus. I mean, it's quite staggering, you know. that I would have just, you know, up the old voice budget there and hired a few more. Yeah, so I agree. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I haven't played the whole new game through, but I know some of the sequences, especially the Paris, which I did quite a lot of.
Right, yeah.
There were so many at the fashion show and so on that I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
Haven't I heard that voice before? If you're going to splash out on all the MCPs and make them interact, then I think you need to just up the voice agent, voice account.
Yes, it's one of those things that some companies do brilliantly and some companies kind of seem to skip over. I remember the first version of the Witcher video game, which they ended up having to re-record everything because the voice acting was so terrible, and it vastly improved everything.
Doesn't make a difference, you know.
Yeah, really? And it's one of the biggest criticisms you have of Bethesda as well with a lot of their games, which are brilliant, but the major criticism is they never record enough dialogue. So you get these memes come up about what was the one on Skyrim about the guard that gets shot in the knee with an arrow, and that phrase comes up, you know, I used to be something or other, but I was shot in the knee with an arrow. That phrase comes up repeatedly it's one of those things, and it makes such a huge difference with video games. And I've never quite understood why they don't just get the person that's doing the voices just record like 30 more lines, you know?
Yeah, say, I'm not feeling well. My knee.
Whatever, you know, some variation in it would be good. But yes, so,
We cover pretty much in the Hitman series extensively with dialogue, but it's, as you say, it has to be with a few number of actors to make it feasible. But, you know, as I say, I've only experienced it with the first level.
Yeah.
I haven't sort of been wandering the streets in Morocco and Japan and so on. All the other voices.
And that's a fair question, actually. Do you actually play all the games? I mean, I know you said you haven't got that far in the latest one, but have you played each of them?
Wait to get I'm getting the disc because I've got my PlayStation 4. I'm going to go off the radar for a while. I've just been busy. I do. And I played, obviously, the earlier games. I think I played the first four games. Actually, I did a lot of Blood Money as well. So that's four, yeah.
Yeah.
And Absolution, I was interested in it. It's just down to time.
Yeah.
When I started it, I was, you know, I had this girlfriend, but we had no children. And 16 years down the line, I've got three children and the same lovely woman. And but, you know, kind of less time now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just down to time. I mean, I've just been in my studio today recording and editing all day, and I'm thinking, oh, I've got to, you know, pick up the youngest at the school, and I should be walking the dog, and I do a bit of shopping, and then, oh, I've got this interview, and then I've got to pick up a guy and, you know, drive around, and then I've got dinner with, like, you know, it's just, I'd love to kind of go away to a cave somewhere with my PlayStation 4, you know, and just go, I'm not in.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I know the feeling. So do you have a favorite game in the franchise, and why is that? If you do, why is that your favorite?
Well, it's, you know, it's always been one particular level, and I think it was in Silent Assassin of Contracts, which is in St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
But that was something to me, it just spooked me out, that particular level, because of this big granite buildings and wide boulevards or streets and that crunching snow and the stillness of it all. It haunted me.
Yeah.
In a way which because it was the first time I'd come across that in the computer game. It was just so, I just wanted to walk around the streets and kind of feel like a child almost, like it was lost his parents. It was just, you know, nothing good was going to happen here. People are going to die. But as a game, I did a bit of research myself when I was at the EGX and did this signing session.
Yeah.
Which was set half an hour. They set half an hour to sign people. And I think we started at It was at 4 to 4.30, and we finished at 7:45, and by which time they closed the thing, and, you know, I was completely knackered, and I could barely move my hand, you know.
Yeah.
The fans just kept coming. But then I kind of asked people then, you know, what was your favorite? And is it just me? And obviously a lot of people said Blood Money, whereas I really enjoyed Absolution.
Yeah.
But that's because I had so much acting to do. So that was just me being, as a voice actor, going, oh, I love the layers and the sadness, and he's got to, you know, go and take Diana, and the betrayal. And there was, and then having to look after this kid, Victoria, and I'm going, what? And it felt very Leon feeling to it. And where, you know, Agent 47 doesn't know how to deal with this. And it just... So I enjoyed the acting experience of it. But as a game, now I would say the new one.
Right, yeah.
This is my absolute favorite. And as I say, I only played extensively Paris, but I have dipped into the others. And the Italian level is just... I'm enjoying that probably a little too much. I think I've got a sneaking suspicion I'm enjoying that so much because it's so sunny. And right now in Copenhagen, it's so gray. You know, I'm getting that winter depression, so I keep... finding myself going back to Sapienza to play in the sunshine of the Italian Riviera. But I'm the first short answer, this one. Everything about it is just, it ticks all the boxes.
Yeah.
I love it. I do.
Is there a particular assassination that sticks out for you in one of the games? Is there a favorite that just for either just for how it was done or just the silliness of it, or, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, that is endless. That's not a fair question. But there was, now I'm at a loss. It was in a theater. There was a good hit. Oh, was that? I think it was Blood Money, actually. That one particularly appealed to me, but maybe that's because I'm an actor. I just enjoyed it. It was just very well done.
Yeah.
But other than that, again, only what I've experienced recently is the Paris, where you could take out the bad guy with dropping the chandelier on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
I like the drama of that. Although, you know, there's a weird thing. I was thinking, oh, what about all the innocent people? Oh, mind the women and children. Oh, yeah. those two. I wish I could confirm I'm pretty sure it was Blood Money. But it was in a theater. Otherwise, definitely the Paris fashion show.
Yeah.
Season one.
Do you get recognized in public? I mean, I know you're obviously playing a video game character, but you are a kind of large, bald guy.
it crosses over because they have used my face.
Right.
It's, you know, in all honesty, it has happened a few times.
Really?
But it tends to be obviously linked then with my voice.
Right.
And that has happened quite a lot.
Yeah.
Where I've been in a sound studio. I remember once flying to London to do some Lego recording and got into the booth, and so, you know, the soundproof window, and the technician presses the button and says, can we just do a voice check? And I went, all right, I'll just read something, you know, just talk into the microphone. And I started talking and I saw his head just jerk back. he really sat bolt upright. And I thought, I knew straight away, I know what he does in his free time. And he spoke to me afterwards and said, you're the man, aren't you? You know, yeah, I am. But I have had that quite a few times.
Yeah.
Often in sound studio environments, but also in social environments, and occasionally at a dinner party even, or just talking to someone in town. And a couple of times it has been with my face. Just spooky. I'll tell you once, when they launched Absolution, they covered Copenhagen with posters.
Really?
Really, and I mean covered it. They just, the whole city was in this red poster. And that's when I got recognized once, walking past one of them. That was really weird. Because you couldn't see the face fully in the... and, you know, it's not exactly me, but it's a definite strong likeness. And as I say, they have motion kept my face into Agent 47. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say they use your face, but do they motion capture? Have you done any motion capture for any of the other things as well?
No, you know, no, I haven't. And I'm really miffed about that because I said, oh, come on, let me do it. And there was one occasion I was in a voiceover conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and I got the call saying, listen, we've got some motion cap studio booked in London. Would you fancy doing some motion cap work? I went, is the Pope a Catholic? Yeah. So I said, actually, it would be easier for me to fly via London than fly. I had to go up to Chicago and Stockholm to get back to Copenhagen with my then current ticket. And so I was all getting excited, and then they called back and canceled me. Bastards. But, they have, in this last game, they have halfway through the game, they, what they are now calling performance captured my face.
Right.
I had a helmet on with a little kind of GoPro setup. Yeah. They wanted to get my mouth and eyes and you know, how it moves. So that just shows you the kind of the level of attention now and the level of technology, for that matter, that's possible.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that in action from the halfway mark. I think it was first going to be put in, I don't know if it was Thailand or Colorado, but I think it was Colorado where it was first going to be shown.
Okay.
No, where, you know, so that I'm just dead curious to see that because, you know, obviously you recognize your own facial movements or the way you talk and how your eyes sort of move. So I'm just curious to see the difference.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's great technology, that.
Yeah, I mean, the future's, it's going to be amazing. You know, all these action stars with Matt Damon and Tom Cruise and whatever, Liam Neeson for that matter, they just need to motion cap themselves into a computer and then go and lie on a beach and earn 20%, you know. Because they will never get old. They can be all the action. They will never get a scratch, you know. Just sell yourself to a top-notch computer game. Or even for that matter, you know, the future of they can do it with Avatar. I think they can do it with anyone.
I mean, you are getting that. I mean, Quantum something or other. There was an Xbox game recently where Aaron Ashmore, is it Aaron Ashmore or the other Ashmore? I can't remember. It's one of the Ashmores. His entire likeness is in the game, and they actually jump between live action and the video game stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I saw it. I did an interview with the Beeb last year with a documentary about that.
Yeah.
You're right. Because so then you go, hang on, it's so real. You know, why don't we just do that? Maybe that's what it's going to be in the future. You know.
Yeah,
scary. It's a bit of a scary thought, you know.
You are getting to the point. I mean, you're getting to the point where the digital stuff is, you know, moving into film. The film stuff is moving into digital. I mean, look at the latest Star Wars movie. You've got entirely digital characters.
Unbelievable, and they're a part of it. They're not just sort of you know, some sidekick in the background. They have a character. They have a personality.
Yeah,
they got hip. You know, hip remarks, and you know, it's just going wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, General Tarkin in the latest Star Wars had more screen time as a digital character than Peter Cushing did.
Now that makes me laugh.
It's ridiculous. So yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy. So a few more questions we've got. this question is asked by somebody called Rubber Duck in Suit. How many rubber ducks do you own?
One. I've got a little yellow one. Now you know. The truth is that.
Have there ever been lines or sounds you simply refused to make because it was too much or too gory?
No. I'm up for anything.
Good.
In fact, I think on the contrary, sometimes I've done a sort of a squelchy death sound of sinking a pickaxe into someone's head. which they're going, oh, that's a bit too much. I'm going, well, come on. I mean, he's putting an ice pick into someone's head. It's got to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I know there's an age limit on games like Hitman. And obviously people play it younger, and they shouldn't, of course.
Yes.
But I think, you know, if you're playing an assassin and you can kill people in virtually any way possible, so then you can't really then begin to censor the way they die. Could you just die quietly like they used to do in the 50s and when there was no blood and you just sort of had this like slow motion fall to the ground, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Watch these John Wayne films. Where's the bullets? I don't see bullets.
This question came up. There was a number of people that made this remark, so I should really ask it. And it relates to, I think, a line in one of the earlier games. Does he need to use the bathroom?
That's from Blood Money. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I had a feeling when I was saying that line that this is going to get a bit iconic. It just felt like it. And I gave it an extra sort of little twinkle.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it became one of those lines that just hung in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'd been to the bathroom and stayed with it. You know, and I think there are some, we really try and avoid those being saying lines since then in an iconic way, or the writers even writing a line, oh, this could be a good line,
yeah.
You know, and just to repeat that. They try not to be that sort of self-conscious, but there are some out there, you know. But I don't know if any line will ever beat that, you know, the bathroom line.
When you're recording lines, are you doing lines together with other people? So when you're with Jay Perry, are you doing stuff together, or are they?
No, that is the biggest bummer.
I'm
in a world of my own.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I mean, no, it's fine, you know, because we have this, as I say, a really good rapport with the writers who are there, and obviously tell me I'd ask what comes before is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I don't really need to know what comes even afterwards. But no, in terms of dialogue, you know, with another character, they'll read in for me, and they're the ones who wrote the lines. So they may not be actors, but they really understand why the line is being written, and that still works. So you may, you know, have this, you know, line coming from some American bad guy being said to you by a Danish writer in his pretty impeccable English, but it still won't be a tough Bronx accent, or, you know, but I would still get it because that person is totally on top of the line and that he wrote it, so he knows what his intention was. And that's all I'm interested in knowing. You know,
yeah.
Not to sound pretentious, speaking of pretension, but, you know, when they wrote the, you know, plays in Shakespeare's time and the actors got their parts, they only got their parts. They didn't get the whole play. They just got, these are your lines and those are your lines, because you couldn't write the whole play out. And then when they turned up, that's when they found out how it all kind of fitted together. And that's quite a good idea. Actually,
yeah.
You know, I want to know more, but I especially with this time around, because I've been recording for a year, basically,
yeah,
about eight months.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of dying. And what happens next? Well, we can't tell. Oh, bum, you know. But it's great because it keeps it. I kind of live it as I'm doing it.
Yeah. It also means you can't give away spoilers unnecessarily.
There's also that, you know, there's all those brown envelopes I've had to return.
There was another question. They were sort of working it out. And as we think that you and probably David Hayter are probably two of the longest, I mean, apart from being the most iconic voice actors, I think, of video games, you two are probably the longest running voice actors, because it's him with Solid Snake and you with Agent 47.
How has Solid Snake been going now? Because I can't remember when it was not been going. So
20 years or so, maybe?
Bloody Nora. Really?
It must be. It's got to be heading up to that sort of level.
I'm 16 years, but that beats me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be, it might be 18 years or so, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Have you ever spoken to or met or spoken to David Hayter about it?
No, I haven't. And funny you should say that. When at the EGX, I was looking around to see if they had anything there, and looking on the guest list, you know, to see if he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often he attends those kind of things. I mean, I've just attended just that one, but I'd love to do more of it, actually.
Mm.
But no, I would be great to meet him, just to sort of talk to him about the evolution of the computer games.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I did the BAFTAs last year. I presented a BAFTA Best Technical Award, the BAFTA Games.
Yeah.
And what was, there are many things about that whole experience that were extraordinary, but two things really blew me away was the level the amount of money in the room.
yes.
There were just so many investors there with very big checkbooks.
Yeah.
just wanted to buy into the gaming industry. We don't care. We know nothing about it, but we got $300 million. And you're going, what? Yes. You know, and that was the one thing that struck me. There was a kind of almost fanatical interest of getting into it.
Yeah.
Or buying up other franchises, or just, you know, really cutting a big deal. The other one was, obviously the way technology has developed, and obviously people were talking about virtual reality and how performance capture and just the graphics, generally speaking, how advanced are we going to need to get? Because no one appreciates almost, it felt like, where we've reached. Everyone kind of sees the potential for the next level.
Yeah.
Instead of going, hang guys, because for me, it's the first time I walked into a room like that and going, wait, this is mind-boggling. So much so that I've actually applied to join the BAFTA Games board.
Yeah.
Because I want to get involved in it myself and study its rampant sort of progress, because I think it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it is. The amount of sort of money and skill and that are in the industry now is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
You know, I think it's been a good decision, for example, with Iron Tractor doing the episodic release. I was very skeptical of it, actually, at first, but that's a long conversation. But what appeals to me about it is that with the way technology is moving so quickly, they can keep ahead of the ball. Or, you know, if you use three of, I mean, like we had this with Absolution. I mean, there was a six-year gap from Blood Money to Absolution.
Yeah.
And in which time the industry sort of overtook the engine of Eye Interactive. You know, they had to just completely start again.
Yeah.
And by the time it gets to the shelf, it's already out of date in terms of technology improvement. So this episodic release has been interesting because they've been able to kind of tweak it all the time.
Yes. From
level to level, and stay ahead of the race. And so I don't know if it's going to catch on with other triple game franchises, but I think it's proved itself worthy of repeating.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach. I have mixed feelings about it as well, but I mean that for a game development company, I can see the appeal of it, definitely.
Yeah.
So a couple of final questions for you, because a lot of the time we're interviewing TV people. So one of the questions we always ask people is, there's two things. First one would be, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
Homeland.
Yes.
I'm a Homeland addict, basically.
Awesome.
I just can't get enough of it. And they've just started showing it over here.
So yes.
I can't even binge it. One episode at a time is driving me nuts. And it's, again, I would love to see TV series. I just, but I, you know, to take 10 hours out of my life, I don't have that.
Yeah.
So I choose it very, very, you know,
very selectively.
Okay. It's Homeland.
If you could be involved with any TV show,
ooh,
which show would it be? Past, present, or future?
Oh, bollocks. That's a hard one. I mean, other than Homeland?
Well, yes, Homeland's a possibility, but if there's anything else.
Ooh, you know, I love the drama and the paranoia and the tension and the blood and the guts of something like Homeland. But there's a part of me that wants to go the other direction and do something funny.
Right.
So only because it's probably more fun going to work on a daily basis than going, you know, oh, I've got 3 weeks to be tortured and then my balls ripped out. Oh, I can't wait to go to the sound studio tomorrow. You know, the film studio tomorrow. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one, but some kind of a very good comedy.
Yes, okay.
Comedy series, I think, would just, I feel like it would keep me, keep my interest and my entertainment of going to work. You
know? It's a nice balance against Agent 47.
I think so. And, you know, that's the weird thing. I work for the English-speaking theatre in Copenhagen. And,
yes.
have been doing that for forever. And we do all sorts of stuff. But the main show that they're most known for is their Christmas show, which has got nothing to do with Christmas at all. But it's basically adult panto.
Right, yeah.
Combined with cabaret. It's a bit of Monty Python and it's rude, but with double entendre. So nothing's, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's, I would call it adult panto. But yes. With a really much better storyline. Panto in Britain's very tragic now. But so that's, you know, that gives me that comedy stuff, which is really kind of cutting edge. And I just had 3.5 months playing bloody Trump, which is, that was a double-edged sword that backfired. Didn't see that coming. Didn't find that funny at all.
No. But,
I learned to find it funny, you know, in the production. So what I'm trying to say is that I do a lot of comedy on the stage, but when I do film or TV, I play murderers and rapists and killers, almost without exception. I mean, it's very rarely I can show anything I do to my children without going, well, now look away, this bit gets a bit messy. Daddy, you don't live to the end of these films. Well, I know. So yes. It's a nice rich tapestry. I'm very grateful for any work I get thrown my way. But a TV series, I'd probably go for more of a comedy if I could.
Yes. Oh, that'll be good. It'll be good. What else are you doing at the moment? Anything else coming up?
Yeah, funny enough, I've got a really good gig tomorrow. I'm presenting Yes for Kids soundtrack to Hitman. Okay. I don't know, Denmark's radio, which is like the BBC of Denmark, yeah. The state TV station. Their symphony orchestra are running a series of theme concerts. And this weekend, they're doing computer games.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
And so they're going to be playing Yes for Kids work from Hitman 2 to 4.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to come and present it. And I'm doing a Blade Runner in the start of June, where I'm doing Harrison Ford's lines from,
Oh, awesome.
As Decker, which is, I mean, I did Lars von Trier's recently. They had a Lars von Trier evening. Lars von Trier is a Danish.
Yes, and I'm aware of Lars von Trier's, yeah.
And but he really goes up in his music.
Yeah.
And there was a film called Europa, where Max von Sydow played a psychiatrist and he talks, there's this sort of long, languid voiceover at the beginning of the film. And so, obviously, he wasn't there, but I got to. And what's fun with these evenings, they're, I'm standing in front of 72-piece orchestra giving it absolute welly, and there's a massive screen behind me, a full-blown movie screen behind my head, and me, just so you don't get a second chance. You kind of go, oh, bum. Can we do that again? No, because they're all, so there's, that's fun. But other than that, lots of voiceovers. I'm just in voiceover season now up till the Cannes film and TV and documentary festivals. I do a lot of presentation work.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I got plenty to do.
Awesome. I shall let you get back to your day. Thank you for coming on and spending a bit of time. I'm sure the people on Reddit will be very happy. So,
yeah, well, I look forward to hearing it. All the best.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully we'll speak again at some point.
It's been a pleasure in the meantime.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming on. All right. Okay. Have a good day. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye, David.
Cheers, bye. That was the interview with Hitman's Agent 47 himself, David Bateson. Hope you really enjoyed that. We will now give you some airdate information. Airdates this week, we've got a few renewals. Delicious, which was the Dawn French show, which was on Sky One. That's been renewed for a second season. Didn't see an episode of it, so I have
no idea. That was just the three episodes, and it had the guy from Game of Thrones in.
Yes.
Oh, I think perhaps he wasn't in very long. I don't know.
He was. He was the main male lead, I think. It sort of looked quite good, but wasn't really my sort of thing, and there was other stuff on, so I ended up not seeing it. But that's been renewed for a second season. Travellers, which is...
This is more your alley. Here we go. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing show. That is on Netflix right now for season one, and they've renewed it for a second season as well. That's a co-production with Showcase, I think it is, in Canada, which is one of Canada's big networks. Brilliant, brilliant show set in present day, where people in the future have found the ability of how to jump back into bodies of people in the past. So they jump into people at the point that they were supposed to die, take over their bodies, stop the accident that was going to kill them and then take on their lives, essentially. And they're being sent back in time to try and stop this catastrophic disaster.
Yes, they're sort of like time police, aren't they?
Yeah.
Going back to stop this.
None of them kind of know exactly, supposed to know exactly who each other are. And there's lots of them, and they're kind of all in these various different bodies and kind of little cells working in various different individual areas to try and kind of pull something together that will stop this catastrophic event in the future. It's a really, really good show. It's written by one of the guys that wrote Stargate, and it's well worth watching if you've not caught it yet. But it's on Netflix right now. It's called Travelers. Go and watch that. I strongly advise that. A couple more Netflix updates. The OA has been renewed for a second season. I'm about halfway through the first season of that and I haven't managed to get back to it yet, but that was enjoyable. It's weird, but enjoyable. Got Jason Isaacs in it, which I know will draw in some fans just by the fact that it's got Jason Isaacs in it. Stranger Things inevitably has been officially renewed for a second season as well.
Yes, they had the Super Bowl trailer, didn't they?
Yes, yeah, they did. So, yeah, inevitably that's back for a second season, and there's a new trailer out which was up at the Super Bowl. So.
I thought they put a date on that, 31st of October. I don't know.
Yes, I think. Yes, you're right. It was Halloween because it was 31st of October. You're entirely right. So, yeah, that is returning on the 31st of October. That in terms of other changes. Person of Interest, aka Batman in a Suit, don't start.
That was one of the podcasts I enjoyed most.
So yes, Batman in a Suit is back for its final season. So season 5, slightly annoying to some people. It's moved from Channel 5 to 5 USA, and I know some people can't get 5 USA. So if they've been following it, they're going to be slightly irritated. But that is back on the 22nd of February at 9 p.m. That's Person of Interest for a 13-episode final season of that. I'm just glad it's showing somewhere. Apparently, somebody was saying as well that 5 USA isn't high def either, which is annoying. But
it's 2017.
Yeah, I will take what I can get at this point. Channel 5 need a talking to with their scheduling at the moment because it's a little bit all over the place. Big Bang Theory Season 10 Part 2, that is back on E4 on the 23rd of February at 8:30 in the evening. I'm still enjoying Big Bang. I know that's not cool to admit at this point, but
it isn't cool though.
But yeah, I am still enjoying Big Bang. It's good fun. If you want to catch the Oscars in the UK, it's on the channel Sky Cinema Oscars. So you're going to need the movie channels for it. It's the 89th Academy Awards. That's on the 26th of February. Starts at 11:30 with the red carpet stuff. And then 1:30 in the morning for the actual Oscar event, which will go for about 4 hours. So it is an all-nighter if you're going to go and do that.
Take a day off the day after, I think.
Yes. So if you're a student and you want to stay up and watch that, maybe yes, but if you've got work to do, then no.
I believe the 26th is the Sunday night. So is it like Monday morning when going to happen?
It will actually go out. It'll be 1:30 a.m. Monday morning, but the preview starts at 11:30 on Sunday.
Good excuse to take the Monday off.
Yep, good excuse for a long weekend if you're a film fan. So there's that. Taken, which is the TV show based on the Liam Neeson movies, special set of skills, find you, kill you, that blah, blah, that stuff.
I will find you.
That is coming on to Amazon Prime on the 28th of February. That will be on. That's for its first season. If you want to see what that's like, I have no idea what it's going to be like, but there you go. Beaches, which is apparently a TV show based on the 1980s movie. That is coming to Lifetime on the 12th of March at 9 p.m. Stars Idina Menzel and Nia Long. Idina Menzel's the girl from Frozen, the Let It Go girl from Frozen.
Amazing.
So, yes. If you like Frozen, that might be one for you. Grace and
ironic that it's called Beaches and she was in Frozen.
Yeah, ironic. Grace and Frankie season 3. That's on the 24th of March. We turn up on Netflix about 8 a.m. because that's the time they usually turn up on Netflix. That's Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are back as the two women whose husbands, played by Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston, have fallen in love with each other.
Have you seen any of that, Dave?
I still haven't seen it, but everybody tells me it's absolutely fantastic. So Chris used to rave about it as well when Chris was doing the podcast. So I really want to go and find some time to watch that. It's one of those shows that, because I know it's a Netflix original, I know it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere, so I'm not going to worry about it too much. There's a new show also coming to Netflix. Netflix had a press event this week, if you can't tell already. That's why there's a lot of Netflix stuff. Netflix got a new show starring Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy was a huge phenomenon in the US, and he's sort of known over here, but not particularly well. Bill Nye Saves the World, it's called, and it's Bill Nye exploring a wide range of topics with celebrity guests. So it's experiments and discussing things and him introducing theories and ideas. Sounds like it could be quite good fun. That's starting on the 21st of April on Netflix. So I think if you're into sciencey type shows, I think that and just fun pop science, I think that will be an interesting one to watch. Lucifer. If you're wondering where that's disappeared from Amazon Prime, it's on break again in the US. So this is part three of season two.
Three. Wow. Unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, no, unfortunately. We've had things splitting for four parts before. So.
Oh, my life.
Yeah. Season two, part three, that is coming on the 2nd of May, which also happens to be my birthday. 2nd of May. So that will be back for Lucifer on Amazon Prime. And also announced this week, Orange is the New Black season 5 comes to Netflix on the 9th of June. That's arriving. I really like Orange is the New Black. It's a really funny show and really found its footing again. Season 3 kind of lost its way slightly. Season 4, it was definitely back on track. So well worth watching if you've not caught that yet. Next week on TV, we have Grimm starting on Valentine's Day, the 14th, at 9 p.m. on W, which is Watch for those people that haven't realised they've changed their name to W. We still get that question.
And who would? I mean, it's every 6 months with these people.
Yes. So W, channel formerly known as Watch, on the 14th of February at 9 p.m. That's Grimm's 6th and final season. So if you want a Grimm Valentine's Day, that'll be coming at 9 p.m. on W. 24 Legacy also starts this week. That's on the 15th of February on Fox UK. That's at 9 p.m. I've seen the first episode of this and I really liked it. It's very much 24. And a lot of people were saying, oh, it's just like, you know, it's just like 24 was. And I'm not entirely sure why they're banding that around as a criticism.
It's 24.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. They've seen a number of snarky articles about it. And I'm like, well, I'm not, what were you expecting?
Patrick Stewart just sits in the chair and flies the ship. That's exactly the same as the first series of the Star Trek.
I'm not entirely sure what they were expecting. It's 24. It is 24. And yes, there's no Jack Bauer, but Corey Hawkins is a likable character. And I think it will do a good job. It's hard to judge off just one episode, but I want to see more of it, definitely. So, that's coming on the 15th of February to Fox UK at 9 p.m. Grey's Anatomy is back for the second half of season 13. That's
Grey's Anatomy. That program's been going forever.
Yes, 13 seasons, in fact. it's back for the second half of season 13. That's on the 15th of February at 9 p.m. Which is followed on Sky Living by Madam Secretary, which is starting its third season, 15th of February at 10 p.m. Neither of those shows I've ever seen, so... Yeah, I know they've been around a while, but there's an Australian mystery drama called The Kettering Incident, which is starting on Sky Atlantic on the 15th at 10 p.m. as well. It's about a missing child. It's set in small town Australia and a child going missing. Apparently.
Oh, not Kettering here.
No, not Kettering here. It's a Kettering in Australia. So, Then on the 19th on BBC One, there is a series which looks really, really interesting called SSGB, which is an alternative history where Germany won the Battle of Britain. It's following a detective that is working in Scotland Yard, but Scotland Yard is run by the SS. But he's also kind of trying to subvert them as well. So it's based on a novel, looks quite interesting. And I really like Man in the High Castle, which is
I was going to say it sounds like Man in the High Castle.
It basically is. I mean, it's the same sort of premise. It's a what if Germany had won, you know. So rather than them taking over the whole of the US, they've taken over Britain at this point. And I don't think it's necessarily, I don't know whether it's set present day or it's set sort of just after Germany won. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, it looks kind of interesting. So that's one to watch out for. That's SSGB. It's on BBC One on the 19th of February at 9 p.m. Season 18B of, or 18 part 2 of Law and Order Special Victims Unit comes to the Universal Channel on the 19th of February at 10 p.m. They've got a new show called Crashing, which is on Sky Atlantic on the 21st of February at 10 past 10. It's Judd Apatow on a new comedy, which is about an unlucky comedian as he crashes on couches of some of New York's top comics after his marriage falls apart.
That sounds good.
So, yeah, as Andrew said, if that was made in the UK, it would be some sort of gritty drama about sort of a homeless comedian. But but as it's America, it's a dark comedy. So, yeah, Judd Apatow playing the lead in that. So it's called Crashing. 21st of February at 10 past 10 on Sky Atlantic, that is. But yeah, sounds interesting, that one. Magicians Season 2, that's coming to Five Star on 21st of February at 9 p.m, which is about some students in New York that end up a sort of kind of teenage Hogwarts, basically. It's set in America.
They will have you know you're at Hogwarts till you're 17, 18. So, I mean, teenage Hogwarts,
I will adjust that to being a college, post high school college of magic, basically.
Further education.
It's magical further education, yes. That's on the 21st of February on Five Star, that's coming. That's The Magician Season 2. And finally, Billions arrives for Season 2 on Sky Atlantic on the 21st of February at 9 p.m. as well. First season of that was absolutely brilliant.
I was about to ask if you've seen any of that. I might give that a go.
Well, well worth it. That's on their TV, I think. First season of that is up already. So well worth watching. There's a lot of finance stuff in it, which might sort of put some people off. Sure. But stick with it. It's so brilliantly acted. Paul Giamatti's absolutely superb. Damian Lewis is great. Just can't recommend that highly enough. It was really gripping, the first season of that, because it's very kind of two-faced, backstabbing, Machiavellian kind of politics and stuff going on. Really, really good. So that one's worth watching. There were a couple of little changes that popped up today as well. Just to add these in, Mr. Robot Season 2, if you haven't got Amazon and we're watching on the Universal Channel, Universal have said that's coming in April at some time. Chicago Justice, that was the other thing as well. Chicago Justice finally has been picked up in the UK by Universal. Don't have a time for that yet, but it is coming to the Universal Channel. So it is actually going to be tied up with one of the other Chicago shows. It's Chicago Med or PD or Fire or one of them. I can't remember whichever one it is, that because Sky have one and then somebody else has something else. I think Five have one and then Universal has one. So yes, those were the other two little bits and pieces that popped up. Anything else from you?
No, that's it. We keep going. Still watching Bob's Burgers and Modern Family, still great. We're going to watch the Lego Batman movie tomorrow, which promises to be fantastic.
Yes, yeah, should be good. Should be good.
Other than that, nothing going on.
good. All right. Well, I will be down at the PC Gamer Weekender this weekend. So if you spot me wandering around, I might be wearing a Geektown t-shirt. Come and say hello. I will have Bex with me on the Saturday as well, from Bex Trista from Trista Bytes and from this podcast. So she will be with me. So that is everything. We shall see you next week. But in the meantime, you can find us on geektown.co.uk throughout the week. If you want to find the latest airdate news, you can get in touch with your questions and comments on podcast@geektown.co.uk. You can leave a message on the website post. You can find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, or on Instagram at geektownuk. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.